good morning, everyone. On a Thursday, it's you know, the news cycle just never ends. Michael Riedel is off. Noam Layden is here. You have the president battling the CDC. You have William Barr making some amazing comments. You have Rudy going after de Blasio. De Blasio going back at him. I don't know. How do you feel, Noam? You're a regular news guy. You know, in the past, they call it news cycles because sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. These days, it seems up every day.
Yeah, thank God for Donald Trump because of Donald Trump, that news cycle's 24/7, and it has been for the last 4 years. Used to have that summer lull. There's no such thing as a summer lull where you're dying for some story. It doesn't happen anymore. We just move from one story to the next seamlessly, and a lot of it is thanks to the president.
Well, I'll agree with you a little bit on that. I'll say thank you to the president for making a lot of news. So, yeah. See? I said something about the president. Thank you. Our big three stories, the head of the CDC testified it will be late second or third quarter of 2021 before a COVID vaccine is available to the general public. And he said face masks are more guaranteed to protect him from COVID than the vaccine. The president said that the head of the CDC, Dr. Robert Redfield, probably misunderstood the questions, was confused, and he was wrong on both counts. Well, people have made a big deal out of the fact that the mask is supposedly so you don't transmit a problem, and the head of the CDC is saying it protects him in a way. So that was a little bit of an eye-opener. So we put up a little instant flash poll on our Twitter handle, at Len Michael WOR, and we asked you, so who do you believe? Do you believe the president or do you believe the head of the CDC? I thought it might come down 90-10 for Trump, you know, amongst our listeners, but a little surprised that he does come out ahead so far, 74-26. The more people who listen to our show believe the president, then believe the head of the CDC.
I would say that's a landslide. I mean, it's not even close.
Well, I actually thought it would be higher. Joe? Hi, Joe.
Yes, I got a question for you. Do you think
this would be good.
Robert Redfield is correct in that in his statement that the mask will protect you more than a vaccine? Do you believe that? Is he wrong?
Well, they've been saying all along that the mask really is to protect others from you.
Okay, so is he wrong? Is he wrong?
I don't know. I'd have to ask him. You know, I don't know. But I do know...
You must have.
Well, I think more important is...
Say it. Say it.
No, no, no. No, the more important question.
He was wrong. He was confused.
Joe?
If I stand here with a needle with the vaccine and I have a mask in the other hand, which one are you taking?
Which one you want,
I say you get to choose.
I'm going for the vaccine.
Yeah,
is that a good answer?
There you go.
Vaccine. But, Joe, you know, it's a typical Joe fashion. The real story is about the vaccine. I mean, you know, the mask is a sideshow on this story. I mean, he's being criticized for saying that the vaccine won't be available to the general public until halfway or three-quarters of the way into 2021. I think most agree with that. I mean, the president wants it to happen before Election Day. And, yes, there may be a vaccine approved before the end of the year, although I think that's going to be tough. But let's say it is approved. But that vaccine is going to be going to first responders right off the bat. So yeah, sure. I think, you know, CDC guy is right. It's going to be late in 2021. That's the real story, don't you think?
Well, maybe the president's pushing for to speed up the process. That's all.
I'm sure he is. He wants it before November 3rd for some reason. I don't know why. Also, in the big three, it's open mayoral warfare as Rudy goes after de Blasio and the school's chancellor. And rounding out the big three, we have a big about face, the Big Ten, which includes Rutgers. They're going to play football starting next month. Was it the president's urging? Well, and if you didn't hear William Barr's comments, of course, the attorney general, he had some interesting things to say about, he says if there's a lockdown, a full lockdown, then that would be the worst violation of people's rights since, listen to Barr.
Other than slavery, which was a different kind of restraint, this is the greatest intrusion on civil liberties in American history.
Well, with that, I want to bring in Ron Kuby, one of our favorite attorneys, obviously an expert when it comes to civil rights. And I have the sneaking suspicion that you may agree with William Barr on this, no?
No. I mean, look, slavery, I mean, to compare this temporary public health measure that's necessary to ensure the health of the American people that other countries have done successfully, to equate that with the institution of chattel slavery. I mean, it really shows how utterly clueless Bill Barr is. And it was kind of a disappointment because a lot of people who knew the man before he became, you know, Trumpified, you know, had respect for him, even, you know, although they disagreed with his politics. But that's just insane. And just in keeping with the sort of daily outrageous thing that's said by this administration, just keep doing them 3, 4, 5 times a day. And maybe people will forget.
So I'm thankful you're here today, Ron, because I've been having this week-long argument with Len about social protests leading or civil protests leading to social change. Len, he can't handle the fact that basketball players are kneeling on the basketball court or football players are speaking out during games. It's upsetting him. It ruins the game experience for him. And when I said that's the perfect place for them to speak out about injustices in this country.
This is a very, very old debate that we've had in this country. And I remember the time when the handful of black movie stars and black athletes started speaking out about civil rights. This, of course, was back in the late 50s, early 60s. I remember it in the sense of historical memory. And there was massive public outcry because, like, white people wanted to watch their black people singing and dancing and dribbling and playing sports. They didn't want them talking. I understand that idea that you watch sports to be entertained. If you wanted to debate politics with a basketball center, you know, you would do something else. I mean, you know, but the reality is that these folks have influence, and they have a platform, and they're going to continue happily to speak out. And I don't think athletes and actors cause social change, but I think that they help spread the message of social change, that everything is not okay. White people, and you just cannot, you know, there is no place for you to hide from the fact that we're being killed in the streets by the police.
What a lot to unpack there. We're on with Ron Kuby.
How are you, Ron?
The criminal defense attorney. Of course, everything I said was mischaracterized by Noam, but
no,
I'm used to that around here. Here's my feeling. Is that I'm not opposed to anybody speaking out about anything. This is not black, white. I'm not saying shut up and dribble the way Laura Ingraham said to LeBron James. I'm not saying any of that. Everyone's free to say whatever he wants, whenever he wants, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I understand, and I don't believe the protests are anti-American or anti-United States flag or anti-national anthem. All I'm saying is...
That makes you a radical leftist by the standards of talk radio.
Yeah, well, I am. You know, I'm sure by the standards of talk radio, I'm a communist. But
all you're saying, though, is what?
The bar is low in talk radio when it comes to who's on the right and who's on the left.
Right. So what is your position, Len?
I'm just saying that I would prefer if the sports event were left to be a sports event and we could enjoy watching sports because we tune to sports, and I've had some sports experience my entire life, we tune there to get away from the real world. I would prefer that you have sports when you tune into sports, but I'm not saying they shouldn't protest. You can do it on your off day. You can do it in the locker room right after the game when a lot of people are listening to you. There's a lot of places and times for athletes to make statements. They don't have to intrude on the sports event. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I understand, Len, and I think that's just adorable. Because, because when I watch the weather, I don't want to see climate change and billowing wildfire smoke from the west or something. I want to see sunny skies.
All right, we're out of time, and not a moment too soon. Rod, we got to run. You're always a treat, and I'm glad you think I'm adorable. That's my biggest takeaway from today's program.
So sweet. No, be nicer to him.
Okay. Bye, Ron. Right. Nice talking to you. When we get back, we're going to teach Natalie more Yiddish, and Alan Dershowitz throws a haymaker at CNN. The biggest names in music are on the road to our iHeartRadio Music Festival, back for its 10th year. Our 2020 iHeart Music Festival live tomorrow and Saturday, all on one stage, kicking off at 9 o'clock. Names like Alicia Keys and Bon Jovi and Usher and so much more. Experience the show anywhere live on iHeartRadio or watch live on the CW app. Brought to you locally by Splat, rebellious hair color. So we have this little poll going on our Twitter handle, at Len Michael WOR. I'm very gratified how many people jumped on to vote. It really is a startling number how many people were worked up by this. Was the dust up between the president and the head of the CDC? And whose side do you believe? The CDC guy said, he wasn't think a vaccine will be ready for the American public at large until well into 2021. The president claims he must have been confused. And then the CDC guy said he likes the mask. Maybe it'll protect him better. Then the vaccine, the president again thought he was confused, didn't understand the question. I did have a listener email me that says, wait a second, if everyone does wear a mask, then everyone's going to be protected. So the CDC guy wasn't wrong. But anyway, we have this poll going up. Whose side do you take? And right now the president's winning big over CDC. It's 73-27. So that's pretty strong support of the president among our listeners. Not surprising. If you want to vote, go to at Len Michael WOR. So, hey, Noam, we've been doing this little thing for Natalie, and one listener actually liked it. So that's all we need. You know, doesn't take much around here. But one listener thought it was good. So no negatives. So the bid is teaching Natalie Yiddish. So yesterday we taught her the difference between schlemiel and schlemazel, which of course is the little phrase that's used in the Laverne and Shirley theme song. But the schlemiel is the guy who drops the soup by mistake. They're both basically idiots, but the schlemiel drops the soup. The schlemazel is the guy who gets the soup dropped on him. So there's your distinction.
I love that. That's
isn't awesome. That great?
It really is.
All right, so here's my question to you, Natalie. If I were to call you, that Natalie is a Shana Punham, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
Now? Well, Noam has a little smirk on his face, so I'm trying to read what that means because I feel like you're insulting me, but I hope you would not be insulting me. So.
Well, I need an answer. Is if I call that Natalie that Shana Punham, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I'm going to go with it's a good thing. Yes!
Wow.
I have no idea
shocked.
What it means.
Do you know what punim means in Yiddish?
No.
Tell her, Noam.
Face.
Face.
Okay, so it's like
and
a pretty
Shana,
face?
Face. And Shana means pretty.
Aww.
So if you say, oh, that's Shana punim there, that Natalie's a Shana punim. That's a good thing.
Okay,
that would be
I appreciate
a pretty
it.
Face. There you
There's
go.
There's no Me Too implications there, right?
That's no. All good. All no, good. It's not like
no,
a
no, no.
sexual
There's absolutely
thing.
None of that.
Yeah,
it's like, actually not yeah. in any way a leering guy who's right. drooling. It's not, none of that. It's,
okay.
Sometimes you use it for a baby, like when you
Yeah, I was
going to
say, it sounds like something you would call, a little kid. And actually, a name that my family would call me when I was little in Greek, and it's funny because I really don't know much Greek at all, but is kukla, which means doll. But that it was like an affectionate thing to call a little girl. So
Kukla?
Yeah.
Like Kukla Fran and Ollie?
I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but because I do not speak Greek. But.
I'm gonna call you Kukla from now. Hey Kukla, get me this audio. So there you go, the other edition of Natalie Learns Yiddish. Shana Punim. It's a good thing.
When I was young and I was bothering my mother, she used to say the same thing to me, and I only looked it up because we started talking about it. She used to say, don't hock mir to Chinik, right?
Yeah.
I had no idea what that meant. All I knew was, leave me the hell alone, you're bothering me. That's the way
talk,
I understood
talk too
it.
Much.
So I went and looked it up last night to see what it is. It means don't bang on the tea kettle.
Oh!
Yeah.
I thought it meant someone who talks too much, just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, well, but, that's what it is, but it actually means don't bang on the tea kettle. So,
hey, we're running out of time. Dershowitz suing CNN only for $300 million, Noam.
Yeah, $300 million because he says they selectively edited this video of him when he was talking about impeaching the president and left out a line that basically where he said, if the president committed a crime, he should be impeached. They edited that sentence out and they rolled this tape over and over again during a 24-hour cycle. And he said they were doing it to misrepresent him, make him look bad. So now he's suing CNN for $300 million.
I'm not a lawyer, but I think he has to prove intent. And I think that's hard to prove.
I think the intent was pretty clear. You wanted to make it sound more anti-Trump than it really was.
You're saying it was intentional on their part. All right, I figured you'd take that point of view. News time, and good morning. Good morning to my good friend Diamond and Silk. Joe Bartlett. Hey, Joe.
Yesterday, you know, your friend Joe Biden was trying to appeal to the Spanish voters by playing Despacito.
Mm-hmm.
The White House put out English translation of Despacito. Slowly, I want to breathe your neck. Slowly, let me tell you things in your ears.
Kind of like the creepy Joe stuff, right?
It is.
Kind of like a creepy Joe.
It's
no
perfect.
Wonder he was dancing and smiling. Anyway... teachers are protesting again today, pushing for the start of in-person learning on Monday to be delayed. Worried about safety, but Mayor de Blasio, hey, we can believe him. He says it's safe.
If any classroom is not up to snuff, it'll be taken out of circulation immediately.
Yeah, right. The start of remote learning faced a lot of challenges yesterday, including in Brooklyn, where somebody hijacked the feed and sent in porn. The mayor is doing battle with former mayor Rudy Giuliani. A lot of name calling here. Giuliani called de Blasio the worst mayor in history. He said, we had a safe city until this idiot took over. De Blasio shooting back. Giuliani's out of touch with reality, claiming he's unhinged. The mayor also took a little shot from the governor yesterday, believe it or not. Mayor announcing that he was imposing a one-week furlough for himself and his entire office to help close the $9 billion budget deficit, even though the cost savings from this furlough is like a pittance compared to what they need. Anyway, the governor mocked the move, saying, there's a lot of waste in the city budget. Let's see if we can find that. President Trump says the CDC director, Robert Redfield, was confused. He's responding after Redfield said that a mask might be more effective than a vaccine.
I believe that if you ask him, he would probably say that he didn't understand the question.
Redfield also suggested the vaccine may not be distributed until the middle of 2021. The president said, I don't think he understands that one either.
Great.
All right. Here's a serious story here. One person dead, 8 first responders injured after this accident this morning in Brooklyn. Fire department, ladder truck, and an ambulance collided at Myrtle and Throop. 59-year-old man in the ambulance was killed. A young woman who was with him, I think it was his sister, she's in critical condition. 6 firefighters and 2 AMTs suffered minor injuries in that accident. And is it okay to wear biker shorts outside the gym? All fashion rules are, I guess, flexible these days, apparently. But the Wall Street Journal says it's become the new fashion debate, comparing the bike shorts to leggings. I don't know about that, but advocates say they're comfortable to wear and perfect if you plan to work out at some point, but may not get around to it for a while. Never see you in these biker shorts, right, Len?
Oh, well, that also assumes you go outdoors. A lot of assumptions here.
Are we talking men or women in the biker shorts? Because that's
men, I think.
A lot different.
Well, I guess anybody, but probably more so men. Some say they're fashionable even if you have no plans to work out. But other critics say they can be too revealing. And not in a complimentary way. If you know what I mean, Len.
You know what? If Rita were here, we would both vote that that was like a dopey news story. We'd be all over you for that. But Rita's not here, so you get a pass.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Joey B. Yeah, I know what you mean. Coming up next, ABC entertainment guru Larry Hackett joins us. Look who's going to play Joe Biden on Saturday Night Live. And at 8:50... the outstanding sports columnist Christine Brennan. So much to discuss, from the Big Ten resuming to NFL ratings.
More.
Well, now that we're past Labor Day, there's so much going on in the entertainment world. It's traditionally the start of the new television season, so we welcome in Larry Hackett, ABC Entertainment contributor. And Larry, the SNL stuff fascinates me, just for starters. First of all, they're coming back October 3rd. Everyone in the cast is coming back. They're going to play in front of a live audience at 30 Rock. And they've chosen Jim Carrey to play Joe Biden. Interesting call, don't you think?
It really is. There's as much attention on Jim Carrey being Joe Biden as there was on who Joe Biden was going to pick to be vice president. It's too bad he couldn't pick Maya Rudolph. Maya Rudolph will be playing Kamala Harris. She's actually up for an Emmy Award this weekend based on her impersonation of it. Yeah, so there's a lot of attention about this. You know, Carrey was never on the show. He's only hosted it a couple of times in the past. But, of course, he was known and came to fame on Living Color doing impressions. So it should be great. He does have his work cut out for him, Len. You know, I was going back and looking at some of the old clips of people who played him. And Woody Harrelson played Joe Biden last September in the, I think it was the season premiere. And he was hysterical. He had him down perfectly. His teeth were unusually brightened. He had the hair plugs. He looked great. But I don't think Jim Carrey's any slouch. And I think as long as it's well written, which you have to imagine it will be, it could be hysterical with him facing off against Trump as Alec Baldwin as Trump.
You know, the TV talk show world is so damn competitive. And now I see Drew Barrymore, who's really well-liked, is jumped in. How did she do? I know this is her first week, right?
She did pretty well. And you're absolutely right, Noam. She is someone who is just enormously popular and enduringly so. When I was the editor of People magazine, we must have put Drew Barrymore on the cover, I don't know, 3 or 4 times. At times, I must confess, I was mystified as to why we were putting her on, but there had been some development. She got divorced or had a child or just wanted to talk. And she always did very, very well. There is something about her honesty, that cuts through and that people enjoy. Not unlike when she was at her height, Ellen. So there are a few things going on here. One is that she has a great audience tie. Two is that I think people are looking around, notwithstanding what's happening with Ellen, but in some degree, it's a pretty merciless game, and although people have great success for a while, producers are always looking for new people. Whether they think their hosts are getting old or generationally old, they move on. And you can have great success, like someone like Rosie O'Donnell, and decide for reasons that either are personal, because it's a lot of work, or, you know, audience-wise, they just get tired of you, to move on. So there was a couple of new entries last year, Tamron Hall and Kelly Clarkson, and those shows are doing very well. Drew came out. She's doing decently for the first week. She's getting all of her good friends on, like Reese Witherspoon and Cameron Diaz. But so far, so good. It is very hard to do this without an audience. So you hear the crew members cheering and gaming her on. But it's tough. So if once audiences come back, I think the show will only get better. But so far,
now you mentioned Ellen. Is there blowback against it? It's hard to look at Ellen doing her show without thinking about all the controversy and the people who are saying she's really tough to deal with.
Right, it is, and I think time will tell whether or not that works. Again, if she's somebody who can punch through it and make the apology, move on, have the guests, and have a certain demeanor, that'll be fine. It will require a certain amount of, you know, professional skills to make the audience think that everything is okay, and that could be tough because, like I said, there are no audiences right now. Part of the energy of most talk shows, Ellen in particular, is the crowd. Right. There's a reason that SNL is going to have an audience in there. I'm curious how they're going to do it. But even just a few people, because the performers get energy off people in the audience. And you can see Drew Barrymore really, really struggling and really almost overcompensating because there's no one to respond to. You know, the guys at night like Kimmel and Stephen Colbert have figured out how to do that. But if you have a new talk show, imagine the nerves you're having anyway. Imagine the kind of glitches that are going to occur for a show that's never really been put on before. And then imagine doing it basically in your bedroom without an audience. That's tough. So I give her a lot of credit for doing it as gamely as she is.
Here's my worst fear. You know, we're in this lockdown and then now like a semi-lockdown for months on end. Is there a chance we're going to run out of fresh new material for, you know, like platforms like Netflix? Do they have stuff still coming out that's new that I haven't seen before?
Well, there's a lot of documentaries coming out. Yeah, if you look at some of the TV critics' previews of the past week or two, Hank Stiver in the Washington Post had a list of 25 new shows to watch. So there's a lot of stuff that's been on production. And I understand your fear, Noam. I think, you know, should this go on for another year or so, then you're really going to have a cupboard that is bare. You know, a lot of stuff. This began in March, right? So you imagine productions ended in March. There's a lot of shows that were being produced last year, if not even older movies in particular. So there's still some stuff on the shelf. I think what you're going to run into, even if the pandemic ends, you know, 6 months after it ends, there may be a weird kind of blight on the in terms of production because there isn't anything on the shelf. They're going to have to rush things in. But so far, there's a lot of things in the fall. I watched a program last night on HBO called The Third Day, which was very, very creepy with Jude Law. So there's some stuff out there that you can pick from. I think you'll be fine until Christmas time. After that, depending on the length of the virus, we'll have to see.
We're on with Larry Hackett, the ABC Entertainment contributor, joins us every week at this time. Hey, Larry, it's getting no attention, but the Emmys come up this weekend, and there won't be an audience. You mentioned Maya Rudolph is up for something with SNL with her portrayal of Kamala Harris. Can you ever imagine an Emmys with less buzz than this one?
No, and I think it's going to be very interesting. Look, award shows, I've said this for years, you know, there are two things that need to be fixed in American life. Well, there's many, but two of them that are perennial. One is voting, and the other are award shows. They just need to be modernized in some way. This is unfortunately not the way to do that. The only reason people tune into these shows, particularly something like the Emmys, it's for the fashions and for the red carpet, and they're not going to have that now. And they're hoping people who are nominated or who win will be at home, glammed up, doing Zoom. And that's possible, but I think it's going to be exceedingly difficult to maintain people's attention for a program that's being basically Zoomed around the country. The Emmys have always had it very difficult. Unlike movies, which are new every year, right? There's a new nominee every year, and there's a new actor or actress nominee every year. When you have television shows, you have shows like The West Wing or Modern Family that win year out and year in, and it just becomes very boring. It's the nature of television, but it doesn't lend itself to good TV programming. You take that, throw in the fact that there's a, you know, pandemic, and throw in the lack of fashion, and I'm afraid you're in for a disaster for this week, and it'll only, you know, lead to more calls to do something, which will lead to more not doing anything by the relative academies who are just seeming incapable of modernizing their program.
And the Emmys come up Sunday night, and Larry Hackett says don't bother watching. All right, Larry Hackett.
One of those shows
that's
hard.
Yeah, our ABC Entertainment contributor. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
All right, talk to you. Coming up next from USA Today, very excited to welcome for the first time sports columnist Christine Brennan. Does the Big Ten's decision to play football have Donald Trump's fingerprints all over it? And coming up at 9:05, Westchester County Executive George Latimer. Well, I'm so pleased that our next guest is on. I wanted to get her on for a long time. She's Christine Brennan. She's the award-winning national columnist for USA Today. You often see her on CNN, ABC. If I'm not mistaken, Christine, you and I probably showed up on the same panels on CNN at one time or another, covering sports. Good morning, Christine.
Yeah, absolutely, Len. Good morning. It's so good to hear your voice and maybe even some ABCs or certainly
somewhere.
Super Bowl and other panels over the years. Absolutely. Great to talk to you.
Well, Christine, my first question has to do with the Big Ten, starting up with football. I have so many questions about it. One is that LSU, the national champion, they're not in the Big Ten, but most of the team has coronavirus. And secondly, did the president have anything to do with this? Because he's the one pushing for the Big Ten to open up.
Well, he's certainly going to take credit, and the Big Ten presidents knew that, and they caved anyway. And I called it the trumpeting of the Big Ten, a dark day, very dark day for the Big Ten. I think the darkest day in sports in the Big Ten. Obviously, there have been terrible tragedies in the Big Ten. But in terms of the conference, to cave like this, you know, this is a conference, Len, that has always talked about academics and the research institutions, and it's much bigger than football, blah, 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 blah. And as I wrote, the Big Ten just became the SEC. They cannot say that anymore, and I'm a Big Ten alum, Northwestern, grew up cheering for Michigan, and I'm actually on the 64-person Board of Trustees at my alma mater, Northwestern. I had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with this vote and this decision, but I think it's a horrible decision. But yes, Trump is doing a victory dance right on the Big Ten president's heads, and they let it happen.
It is interesting that they reverse themselves, but at the same time, you got to look at the NBA commissioner Adam Silver. He came up with this idea to create this bubble, and so far that's really worked. I mean, we've seen some great basketball lately. We haven't heard any cases of coronavirus among NBA players.
Absolutely, Noam, and also the WNBA, and we're, you know, the NFL so far is moving along. Those, of course, are professional leagues. That's one of the big differences, as you well know. And also, you're not on a college campus. And, for example, Michigan State right now has 30 large houses, including 23 sororities and fraternities, hundreds of Michigan State students who are mandatory quarantine now for 2 weeks because of a terrible outbreak that the health people in the county are very concerned about. And yet you're bringing back Michigan State football. And, of course, one of the keys to the decision yesterday, as you probably know, is that they now have rapid antigen testing. And they're giving it to all the Big Ten football players. But they're not giving it to the students. So what does that tell you? Again, I'm not saying it's even wrong. For me, it's wrong. But I'm sure a lot of people listening, hey, it's football. Yes, but let's not then say the Big Ten is something it's not. The Big Ten is not closer to the Ivy League than it is to another conference. The Big Ten, as I said, is much more aligned now with the SEC, and I think that is a shame. And again, the students have every right. They're paying the freight, they're paying the tuition, but they don't get the rapid tests, but the football players obviously do.
Rama Christine Brennan, you can hear how great she is from USA Today. You see her all over the networks as a commentator. Christine, the NFL ratings, people are going to read a lot into this. The ratings were down except for the Saints game with Tom Brady. What do we make of it, or is it just 1 week and we got to wait?
Probably mostly the 1 week and got to wait. Although I will say this, when you live without something for a while, as we all have, I think you start to realize you can live without it. And I don't make anything of it in terms of the Black Lives Matter protests. I think we saw a couple of years ago remember the Nike campaign with Colin Kaepernick and how everything sold out so quickly. And that all of a sudden shut Donald Trump up because capitalism was the answer there. Young people loved Kaepernick and wanted all that, the jerseys, the T-shirts, the hats, whatever they were selling. And the commercial was so successful. So I debunk the thought, and not saying you were saying that it's about the racial protests. No, I think the country has shown we very much support that as a majority of the nation. I just think people might be saying, you know, I'm beautiful day outside, I'm going to do something else. And if you're used to not watching, I think that's the real danger, especially for Major League Baseball, which is getting slower and slower. Well, not this year, slower and slower, but in general, losing a whole generation of young people whose attention spans are, you know, that of a gnat, which isn't good. But baseball doesn't cater to them, and I think baseball's got a real problem moving forward. Will it ever get these people back?
Christine Brennan, USA Today. What a pleasure to have you on. I hope you come back soon, Christine.
I would love to, Len. Thanks so much, guys. You take care.
Really good stuff. And we didn't even get into the U.S. Open beginning today, Wingfoot, and college basketball is going to start up in November. Ton of stuff with sports, and we'll have to have Christine back. She really knows her stuff. Coming up next, the Westchester County exec, George Latimer. COVID has spiked again in Westchester. It's 9 o'clock.